Let us turn, my dear friends, to the Gospel according to John in chapter 18 and look particularly at the words that we find in verse 37. John chapter 18 and verse 37. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Every one that is of the truth heareth my voice. The Apostle Paul had a deep concern and love for his fellow worker, young Timothy. Paul was bold and he was fearless, whereas Timothy was a man who was nervous and often moved to tears. But Paul knew that the Christian life is a tough life. It's a life of struggle. It's a life of warfare. And when he writes to him in his first letter in chapter 6, in order to encourage him to fight the good fight of faith, he points him to the Lord Jesus Christ, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, witnessed a good profession. And that verse before us, chapter 18 and verse 37 of John, is part of that testimony, part of that witness of the Lord Jesus Christ before Pilate. He's been brought before him on the charge of claiming to be the Christ of God. But the Jews knew that that wouldn't stick with Pilate, so they changed it and said that he had made himself a king. And as Pilate speaks to him and cross-questions him, he asked him this plain question: Are you a king? Art thou the king then? And we began to look at this on Friday night, some of you will remember. And we have this wonderful statement of the Lord Jesus Christ. To this end was I born. He was born king. My dear friends, that babe there in the manger in Bethlehem was the king of Israel. The Old Testament scriptures had promised it, prophesied it, said it would be, and indeed it was. He was born not to be king, he was born king. And he testifies there before Pilate in the judgment hall, where 33 years before, those wise men had come, you remember, with the question, where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have come to worship him. And they did worship him. Gentiles as well as Jews worshipped him. And my dear friends, this morning, we still worship him, the Christ of God. Why did he come? He tells Pilate that he came to be king. But not only did he come to be king, he goes on and he says something else. Not only to this end was I born, but and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. He came that he might bear witness unto the truth. And here's the Lord Jesus Christ testifying before Pilate, giving his testimony, if you like. Why do you come? I came to be king. I came as king. I came to bear witness unto the truth. He describes his coming into the world. The purpose of it was to bear witness unto the truth. The truth which had ever been, the truth which was, which is, which ever will be. He came to bear witness to the truth. But notice what it says here. To this end came I, to this end was I born, for this cause came I into the world. My friends, it didn't begin then. He'd ever been. He, the eternal Word of God, had ever been. The Word in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. And he has ever been. He came into the world, came from the Father, took to himself human flesh. Remember how John puts it, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. When the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world, my friends, he laid nothing aside. He took to himself, he added to himself human flesh. He became the God-man, a mystery that is beyond our comprehension. And my dear friends, the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, the coming into this world of the eternal Son of the everlasting God, it's full of wonder, it's full of mystery, it's full of glory, it's full of miracle. And the tragic thing is that we have forgotten so much of it. The world outside has rubbished it all, or it's tried to. And we, alas, have lost something of the wonder and the glory as we look back this morning and think of his coming. He came into the world. He came from the right hand of the Father. Laid aside those outward evidences of his glory and took to himself human flesh. He who was in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And that babe there in Bethlehem's manger was the God-man, the one who had taken to himself, added to his deity, man, humanity. He came into the world. How often did he declare this? So often he said, I came for this reason, I am come. I have been sent by the Father. What was the purpose of it? What was the purpose of his coming? What was the overall purpose of his coming? He tells us in John chapter 6 and verse 38, for I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. That's why he came. He tells us why he came. He came not to do his own will, but he came to do the will of the one who had sent him. Here in verse 37, for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Isaiah had prophesied that he would, you remember, in chapter 55 and verse 4. And behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and a commander of the people. He came to bear witness to the truth. Indeed, he was the truth personified. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. He is the truth personified. And all the Old Testament shadows, all those that pointed to his coming, he was the fulfillment of them. They were the shadows of the truth. He himself was the truth. the Spirit of Truth dwelt in him without measure. He was able to say, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. My friends, this morning you and I are faced with him who is the truth. Everything concerning the truth is manifested in him, is seen in him, is declared in him, is lived out in him. Paul, writing to the Ephesians, can say, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. As truth, literally, truth is in Jesus. My friend, what did he come to do? He came to do the will of the Father. What is the will of the Father? Well, we see it right there at the very beginning, in the midst of the awful tragedy of Eden. God had put man perfect into a perfect environment, but the devil had come in. And we know, to our sadness, the awful consequences. Adam and Eve both were tempted and they fell, and they were to be cast out of the Garden of Eden. The day that thou eatest thereof of the forbidden fruit, thou shalt surely die. And Adam and Eve did die. They died spiritually. And they had planted in their very bodies the seeds of physical death. But before God cast them out, what a wonderful word he spoke. Directed it to the devil. Spoke it in the hearing of Adam and Eve in Genesis 3 verse 15. I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thine head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Someone is going to come, someone born of a woman, who is going to be the deliverer, who's going to undo all that Satan had done and bring in that great and glorious salvation for sinners. And my friends, the Old Testament scriptures, right from Genesis 3:15, right through and into the New Testament, is but a fulfillment of that great truth. That was to be fulfilled finally and perfectly and fully in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And my friends, there is nothing more exciting than to read through the scriptures and see how this wonderful truth, this great promise of redemption through a woman who's going to come of the seed of David. There's nothing more exciting than to follow it through the scriptures. People speak about the Bible being a boring book. My friends, I don't believe there's any book which is more exciting. I think you can prove the case that the Bible is the most exciting book that has ever been written. And you young people, if you haven't read it, if you don't read it, start reading it today and go on reading it for the rest of your life. It'll fill your soul. The outworking of this great truth. He came to bear witness to the truth. And everything concerning the truth was finally fulfilled in the person of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. A Saviour which is Christ the Lord. Oh, no wonder the shepherds rejoiced. No wonder the angels of heaven rejoiced at the birth of this one, the seed of the woman who was to crush the serpent's head. And in crushing his head, his heel was to be bruised. Oh, how often did the Lord Jesus Christ declare why he had come? He'd come to fulfill Genesis 3:15. I am come to seek and to save that which is lost. Do you know the thrill of it? My friends, that's why he came. Came to seek and save those who are lost, who don't deserve to be found, who've done everything to prove that they're not worthy of being found. But he came to seek and to save that which is lost. Come to call the righteous, those who think that they are good enough for God. Come to save those who are unrighteous. Even as the Son of Man came, not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many, to pay the ransom price in order to deliver from the bondage of the devil and sin and the flesh, to bring them to this wonderful and glorious knowledge of salvation. I came not to judge the world, but to save it. And here, before Pilate, the procurator, the one who apparently had all the power over him, is able to say, "For this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness of the truth." My friends, what is the truth? The truth is embodied in the purpose for which he came. He came to do the will of the Father. Oh, he's already put it in a wonderful way in John chapter 6, verse 37. Let me just read 37 to 40. "But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. This is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up again at the last day." My friend, what is this truth? What is this great purpose for which he came? Well, listen to Paul answering the question in Ephesians 1:13. "The word of truth, the gospel of your salvation." This truth to which he came to witness is this glorious gospel of the salvation of sinners. He himself is the Saviour. The Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. My friends, the world knows nothing of it. The world doesn't understand it in any sense. But you and I, by the grace of God, with an open Bible before us, can glimpse something of the wonder of this great and glorious thing, that the eternal Son of the everlasting God, the second person of the triune Godhead, came into this world, took human flesh in order that he might save his people from their sins. Save that greater number and multitude that the Father had given to his own dear Son even before time began, when he chose them in Christ before the foundation of the world. See, the wonderful and glorious thing, my dear friends, is this, that as we look back and as the church looks back today to the day when the Lord Jesus Christ was born, his life is all of a piece. We can't think of his birth without thinking of his death. We can't think of his death without thinking of his life. Can't think of his life and death without thinking about his resurrection. The whole of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ is of a piece. Whilst we can contemplate different areas of it, his birth or his death or his resurrection, they all hang together. And we can't think about this blessed and Lord and Saviour without realising who he is. He was born perfect. He lived a perfect life. He went to Calvary's cross and died a perfect death upon the cross. He rose again on the third day. He went back to heaven 40 days later. And he is to come again with power and great glory. His life is all of a piece. And as we contemplate his birth and contemplate why he came, we inevitably must follow him, not only through his perfect life, but through his death upon the cross. My friends, why did the Lord Jesus Christ die? He died in order to do for his people that which they could never do. You see, we're all sinners. I don't need to argue the case, do I? That we're all sinners. You young people, old people, whoever you may be this morning, we're all born in trespasses and sins. We're all sinners, and the wages of sin is death. A soul that sinneth, it shall die. My friends, there are two things that every sinner needs to do, which he can't do. And the first is he can't keep God's law. If we started this morning and never sinned again for the rest of our lives, we've already broken his commandments. We're already guilty of our sin. The second thing we can't do, that we must do if we're going to be saved, is to pay the price of our sin, that death, that eternal death. But the wonderful thing, my dear friends, the Lord Jesus Christ came to do them both. That's why he was born. And that's why he gave witness to the truth. I am come to fulfill that which my people can't do, but which I will do on their behalf. And that's the wonderful and the glorious truth, isn't it, of his birth. He came to die. He came to give himself a ransom for many. He came to take the place of sinners. He's kept the law. Didn't keep it for himself. He never broke it, but he kept it in order to meet the need of his people. Not only did he keep the law, but he paid the penalty when he died there on Calvary's cross. He did those two things for his people, for that greater number of multitude whom the Father gave to him before the foundation of the world. Who are they? Who are these his people? My friends, his people are those who trust in him, who repent of their sin and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Look to him, recognize that he and he alone is able to save them by his perfect life and his atoning death and glorious resurrection. Do you remember how the writer of the Hebrews puts it? Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost, to the very end, to the utmost limit, to save them perfectly and fully, who come unto God by him. He saves those who come unto God by him. And my dear friends, the question that you and I must ask ourselves this morning is, have I come to him? Have you come to him? If you haven't, why haven't you come? You're a sinner. We're all sinners. We need to be saved. There is only one Saviour, Christ the Lord, the one who was born there in Bethlehem and laid in a manger. My friends, there is no other Saviour. Hasn't he done enough? My friends, there's no more that he can do. He's kept the law. He's paid the penalty. He's risen again. He's a living Saviour. Why haven't you come to him? My friends, come to him now. Call upon him now. For the scripture tells us in Old Testament and New Testament that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's a promise. Absolute certain promise. If you call upon him from your heart, he will hear you, he will save you. He will make you a new person in Christ Jesus. Give you his Holy Spirit. Grant you everlasting life. Grant you to know what it is to be without spot and wrinkle before him. My friends, what a great and glorious Saviour. I have come, he says to Pilate, in order to bear witness to the truth. This is the truth. This is a reason for the Father sending him. This is the reason for his coming. Why was he born? He was born king, governor, ruler of his people. He came to bear witness to the truth. And my friend, his very life reveals the truth, is evidence of that glorious truth, that the one was going to come, born of a woman, made under the law, in order that he might redeem them who are under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons, of daughters, of the living God. My friends, what a Saviour. What a salvation. What a great and glorious purpose. He broke into this world. There, the angels sang with glory, and those who heard and saw something of it joined in the glory. My friends, that glory has been revealed right down the centuries from that very moment to this moment. My friends, may it be that each one of us may know something of that joy of his salvation. He came to save that which was lost. By nature, we're all lost. He's promised to save those who call upon him. Come to him, my dear friends. Trust him today and know him as your Lord and your Saviour. Amen.